Susan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, very clearly. And you can see the first page of your presentation?
Yes.
Okay, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, but I got stuck in a little disaster of my own. I mean, it was very much appreciate this remotely. Next slide. What I want to do today is to basically pull together the thoughts from the previous presenters, which I thought were excellent, and to give you some idea on the role of integrated science for disaster risk management policy and practice. We've had some conversations in this previous talk about the nature of disciplinary, multidisciplinary, and interdisciplinary work. And I think we are all aware of the pure nature of disciplinary science, the multidisciplinary science, two disciplines working together. Interdisciplinary is when you have two sciences together where they shape methods, tools, ideas to actually co-produce and create a new science, an interdisciplinary science. And then you have the purple oval, which is the transdisciplinary science. And in transdisciplinary science, there is a mandate for solution-oriented societal problem solving that involves not only the co-production of knowledge, but the active engagement of stakeholders who help not only define the research problem, but also provide input into the design of the research and the conduction of the research itself. Next slide. So, our efforts underway to look at integrated research. And this is really the engagement of different disciplines. There's scales from the global, different methodologies in the co-production of this policy-relevant research, and this is what I think this map-to-risk research is all about. An example of the integrated nature of the research is seen here in this work cloud, which shows the concentrations of different approaches to the science disaster risk reduction, and actually identifies different communities from the traditional natural hazards community to the disaster community, which comes more from in perspective. And then all the way over to the right, the mental health and disaster medicine communities, which are somewhat isolated from the other community on this particular slide. Next slide. In disaster risk science community, we are small as science communities are. And consistently, there is mostly a focus on single hazards that interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, effectives have not gone beyond the focus on single hazards. You have your hydrologist who study flood hazards. You have a seismologist who study earthquakes, but you rarely have these two sciences together. What this means is that there's no integrative concept or questions that we're all addressing in a systematic fashion. There's variability in the basic definitions of some of the terminology we use. In response to this, a number of years ago, there was an effort underway. I'll talk about a little bit later in the talk, called the Integrated Research on Disaster Risk Program. And what this is disaster risk assessments, and because of that fragmentation, we're not able to provide holistic solutions to policymakers. And it's the policymakers who want to know the big picture, and we're not able to provide and fill in what that picture should be. Next slide. Part of the constraint that we have is related to our lack of understanding as scientists of their scientific approaches. Engineers and social scientists don't always interact, and when they do, they don't always understand what each other is doing. The same thing with natural scientists and engineers and so forth. We're not very good, as my colleagues on the panel have pointed out, translating our findings into action. And at the same time, practitioners and policymakers don't always understand the nuances of science. New terminology, the uncertainties, and they don't care about the science of uncertainty, they just want an answer. It takes time and resources to pull these interdisciplinary teams together to develop necessary research networks, and it takes trust in pulling these groups together. We find that there are enormous geographic disparities between researchers and the places that are studied, and all too often you have researchers who parachute into an area. You don't really know much about the local research networks, you don't know much about the local place, and their sensitivity to that local place is lacking. And if they take the time to debate local stakeholders in the research, they would have had a much better product. And the willingness to work in a new knowledge environment is a fear. I need to say, many of us get kind of stuck in the way we love change with it.
Susan?
Reward multidisciplinary work. And then we have constraints before of funding, which is, I think, one of the largest problems. And that's still one of the very good examples of what integrated disaster research look like. Next slide. A negative view of this integrated things and interdisciplinary work, we do know some things with our half a century worth of science and experience on disaster losses. We know it's incredibly important to understand your risks and vulnerabilities, and we have good examples of what that has shown significant improvement in loss reduction. We know that if you build well and if you follow local building codes, you do save some property. We know, and we have empirical proof, that if you invest in pre-disaster mitigation and risk reduction, you do save lives. We know that warning systems and messages make a difference in preparedness and getting people out of harm's way. And we know that improved risk management governance will in fact help in reducing and losses. And these findings, while very, very general, have been found over and over and over again in the scientific literature. Next slide. Don't know is a specific documentation of this existing literature because it's so diffuse in many, many disciplines. We don't know what we know with certainty. We don't know, for example, where are the research gaps in our understanding of disaster risk. The shortcomings in the existing research base? Are these shortcomings in our conceptualizations of the problem, the theories? It's in the way in which we conduct the methodology. Is it something related to the tools? We don't have the right tools, problems that, that we're looking at. So one of the calls that has come out recently in Nature is the need to establish a body of international experts who can come together and assess in a very critical way on disaster risk to help pull out from that body of knowledge those findings that are relevant to the SENDA targets, to assess specific what we know about topics of vulnerability and exposure, and whether there are temporal or spatial variabilities in those root causes. We don't really have a good handle on the socioeconomic impacts and strategies for reduction in losses. I don't think that any of the international databases on how much disasters cost maintenance on cases or the world are really known that well. And we certainly don't know how to transfer the scientific knowledge to practice, as has been mentioned. Next slide. One example of the science inputs into the SENDI targets for monitoring is the SENDI's purpose, even the Sustainable Development Goals now, are very general statements. For example, lower the average mortality per 100,000 in 2020-2030 compared with 2005-2015. If you look at the baseline, 2005-2015, do you take the midpoint? Do you take an average over that time period? What do you mean by disaster mortality? Do you mean the mortality of the immediate impact, for example, the tsunami deaths? Or do you include in that the loss of life related to the long-term exposure of radioactivity from Fukushima? Are those considered disaster deaths as well? The quantitative targets have very poor documentation of disaster losses at both the national and world scales. Even national databases basically are underestimates. And there are few systematic loss accounting systems. Even the databases of Swiss Re and Munich Re, for example, are estimates based on insured losses, and then they do some fudge factors in there to get the total losses. So the questions that arise from this are scientific questions. Do you use absolute values? Do you use some sort of normalized data? What is it that you're measuring? What time frame are you looking at? What spatial unit are you going to gather this data? in moving from qualitative to quantitative targets, what it means is that you have to have standardized protocols and measurement, and this requires scientific input. You need to have the transparency and accountability in the measurement, and you need a trusted source to curate and keep this information and make it available to those who want to use it. These trusted sources could be the Meteorological Service, could be the statistical bureaus in countries, and of course, could be universities. Slide. So where is disaster risk research today? Next slide. Right. Well, quite good at the disciplinary level. We have knowledge, but we don't disseminate the social science knowledge and pair it with natural science knowledge or with engineering. We're giving the this conference is illustrated, and we are actually moving forward in many, many interdisciplinary science called disaster risk research. Where we're not as good is this notion of transdisciplinary or integrated knowledge, where in fact we involve stakeholders and get more engagement from the policy level. So how can we proceed? Next slide. One of the ways in which the scientific community has come together is to create, next slide, the Integrated Research on Disaster Risk Program. This is a program that is co-sponsored by IGSU, by the International Social Science Council, and by UNISPR. That long program that is designed to move forward this notion of integrated and transdisciplinary alliances for implementation of disaster risk policies and practice. The idea is to stand communications, public responses to use it, and move the subject for an incorrect fashion to address the challenges that disaster risk has posed on nations and will pose and changing. Next slide. The way in which IFDR works is it's really a community of stakeholders from all over the world, from different sectors, who have interest in managing disaster risk. And it consists of a summit, it consists of national science institutions, the humans, UN organizations, the ISSC union, REITs, and so forth. It works through working groups that have specific foci. It works through international centers of excellence located around the globe who have special expertise that can be brought in anywhere in the globe. And it works through a process of national committees that are in the process of being established. which brings together the science and the policy makers in these various countries. Next slide. We also started to see integration occurring in some of the scientific publications, not only in image faults, but in a major effort that is underway by the Oxford Research Encyclopedia, who have established an integrated approach to natural hazard science. And they are in the process of soliciting integrated articles and are hoping to become the kind of the go-to place for people who want to get information quickly about some aspect of natural hazard science. These are exciting times for interdisciplinary and transdisciplinary work. There's more interest in this arena than ever. You see more and more people becoming engaged in it, so I'm ever hopeful that our small community will be growing rapidly. It's very clear that the integration of the STEMBEC framework and the climate change and sustainable development goals, while moving on parallel paths, there is some commonality in those, and I think it's going to be up to the science community to point out that we need cooperation, not overlap. Thank you.